It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The CDC estimates that 80,000 people died from the flu or complications related to the flu last year. That's more deaths than we saw from vehicle accidents, gun violence, and opioid overdoses. And this year, we might see that total climb because so many people do not get vaccinations. The question is, why don't more people get vaccinated? If you haven't had your flu shot yet, why? If you're on the fence, what's holding you back? Or maybe you're someone who knows that getting the flu shot is a good idea, but you still haven't done it. Well, why are you putting it off? People who have had the flu shot, did you previously avoid getting the shots? Maybe you changed your mind. What happened to change your thinking? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dr. James Conway is the Associate Director for Health Sciences at the Global Health Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And Dr. Conway is also a pediatric infectious disease specialist. Welcome back to the morning show, Dr. Conway.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, John.
So 80,000 Americans died from the flu last season, according to the CDC, more than the number of people killed in car crashes. But some people still aren't getting their shots. What's going on here?
Yeah, it was a remarkable year, probably the most attributable deaths in about 40 years. And, you know, I think part of the problem with flu is it's just so unpredictable. And I think people do slide through certain years that are milder seasons without the vaccine. And we get caught then when a number of them have not been vaccinated and we get a particularly bad strain or series of strains that come circulating through the community.
So what exactly is the flu shot? What's inside this thing?
Sure. So the idea of vaccines is to essentially fool the immune system into thinking it's already seen a disease before and already has developed its own protection from that. And there's a couple of different versions of flu vaccines around. Obviously, the injectable ones are the ones that have the longest track record. And there's a number of different potencies for different ages and different ways that those are given to try to stimulate the immune system. And then there's also the nasal flu vaccine called FluMist, which is a live activated attenuated virus, which basically is a mild version of actual flu that can be given as an intranasal spray.
So that sounds like the way that we originally vaccinated people for smallpox was we gave them a case, but a mild one, and they survived that, and then they were immune.
You are correct. And so this was kind of going back to something that might be more stimulatory to the immune system because people were a little disappointed that sometimes the injectable vaccine doesn't seem to give people as much protection as we would like.
So what are some of the most common misconceptions that people have about the flu vaccine?
I think the most common one that we hear is that people feel like they can actually get the flu from getting the flu vaccine. You know, I think that there is certainly at the injection site some discomfort, and then, you know, a fair number of people will have a little bit of achiness as their immune system does get turned on. And I think people will then extrapolate and think that they've actually got a case of the flu, or they'll be in a setting where they'll be getting the vaccine and they'll pick up some other respiratory virus and put two and two together and think the two are associated.
Yeah, I got my flu shot, but I also got my pneumonia shot on the same day. So I had two sore arms and was a little achy for a little bit the next day, but a few ibuprofen later, and I was right as rain. We asked people on Facebook why they didn't get the flu shot, and Camille wrote us to say that the one time she got the shot, she got sick. So it's not uncommon for people to say this. Why do you think this is?
Well, the problem with the flu vaccine season, when we're giving vaccine in October and November, also happens to coincide with the uptick in respiratory viruses in general that happened throughout the United States during kind of the fall and early winter. And so I think it's fairly common that people are going to start coming down with viral illnesses. And unfortunately, at some point, some of those are going to coincide with when they got their vaccines.
Well, the flu shot isn't the cure for the common cold. The common cold and the flu are often confused. Why is that?
Yeah, there's a lot of different respiratory viruses that circulate, and we do talk about influenza-like illnesses being caused by a lot of these viruses. The flu virus in particular, though, is much more severe than the rest of these respiratory viruses. People, you know, generally have pretty severe headache, lots of muscle aches, and fairly high fever, as opposed to the other types of viral respiratory illnesses that in adults at least rarely give them much fever. And, you know, it's mostly runny nose and cough. So influenza, you know, the reason it kills people is that it then does lead to those secondary pneumonias in a fair number of people that are you know, unfortunately going to do them in sometimes.
Well, and NPR had a story recently about a man who actually his flu symptoms were so severe he went into organ failure. They had to put him in a medically induced coma for about 10 days, and he was actually in the hospital for 58 days. So some of these, sometimes the flu can have absolutely devastating consequences, and yet people still don't want to get the shot.
Yeah, his story was particularly interesting and concerning because he was a great example of an otherwise normal, healthy person who didn't really think that they're at much risk and got particularly ill and fortunately survived.
It seems like the flu has gotten worse in recent years, or maybe we're just hearing more about it, but this argues that the flu shot is even more important now than it actually than it used to be. Is this really true, or do we just perceive that the flu has gotten worse?
No, I think over the last 10 years, I think we've had a couple of particularly serious seasons. You know, when we see influenza, it's usually jumping from animal species or recombining an animal species. And so when people talk about bird flu and swine flu and things like that, that's genuinely the source of the virus, is that they jump from those species then into the human side. And then there's a lot of recombination and genetic mutations that happen in those viruses as they move around. And so we have had the emergence of some really interesting strains over the last 10 years.
Let's go to the phones. Danny is with us in Racine this morning. Danny, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the thing I always heard was that they have to decide what flu strain to do the year before because of the time it takes to actually make the vaccination. And I know plenty of people that weigh the idea that, oh, it might not even be the correct flu versus feeling crappy for a few days or, you know, just going through the whole rigmarole of getting a shot.
Yeah,
Dr.
really. Really interesting question, Danny, and you're actually onto something very interesting. So, you're right. What happens is, you know, during our summer, which is the winter down in the southern hemisphere, there's a lot of surveillance that goes on around looking at which viruses are circulating there, and then, you know, over now 50 years or so of experience, the CDC and the WHO can use that to model and predict what are the viruses going to look like then as they start to circulate here. But he's right that they have to make a good guesstimate by January or February to be able to have enough vaccine available in October when we need it here. And so what they've ended up doing is putting multiple strains into the vaccine. So I think people may see when they're out getting their vaccines, the discussion of trivalent versus quadrivalent. What that means is that they used to put three different strains in the vaccine, two types of A and then one type of B, and decided that since they weren't always that good at guessing on the B strains, we now get four strains in most of the vaccines, two different A strains and two different B strains.
So how often do public health officials miss the right strain and get it wrong?
Well, I'd say that about 50% of the time, the strain that ends up circulating is not identical to what's in the vaccines, but usually they're pretty close to at least getting in the ballpark. And this is one of the reasons that when we talk about how well does flu vaccine work, the idea is to give you just enough immunity to hopefully prevent you from getting severe disease. It may not prevent complete disease because these viruses are constantly changing, but at least if we can prevent people from having serious complications, we would consider that a win.
On Facebook, Tom commented that he's never had a flu shot because he's never had the flu. Maybe it's just a coincidence. He doesn't know, but that's his reason. Dr. Conway, is this another reason people don't get the shot? They just don't feel a sense of urgency because it hasn't affected them yet?
Yeah, I think there are people that, you know, if you're particularly careful about hand washing and staying away from sick people and those kinds of things, I mean, you can certainly minimize your risk of flu. And, you know, there are a fair number of people that, you know, especially when they're relatively healthy, are able to fight off flu on their own. And certainly some people have had mild flu and actually have some immunity. But it is in some ways gambling when you're saying that I've gotten through it the past couple of years. This is actually a good time to then flip the coin and actually say I'm going to stop gambling and actually protect myself.
Well, and we're talking about herd immunity here. Talk about that a little bit in terms of vaccination theory.
Well, the problem with our communities is that not every person can get vaccinated. There are certainly people that have allergies to the vaccines or have some medical contraindication or may not even get full response. And the idea of herd immunity is that if enough people in the community are protected, that even if somebody enters the community, and people are getting off planes every day with influenza and entering the country, but if somebody enters that community with influenza, the idea is that there's a firewall of other people that are protected already that then help protect those people that may not be immunized or may not be able to be immunized. So herd immunity is really the idea of community immunity, having enough people in the community protected so that the virus just can't get hold and start to circulate.
So good hygiene, hand washing, that kind of thing, is that a substitute for getting a flu shot then?
I wouldn't say it's a substitute. I'd say it's an augmentation. You know, we know that the vaccines aren't perfect, but they're pretty good. And if you can add in hand washing and hygiene stuff, again, aren't perfect, but are certainly good. The combination of those things then, I think, does lead to ultimate protection for most people.
We know that nearly 400 people died in Wisconsin from the flu or related illnesses last year. Just over 7,500 people were hospitalized. Some people hear that and still will probably choose not to get the shot. What's the research say about why people believe what they do when it comes to the flu shot?
Well, I mean, as you know, people have mentioned, as one of your Facebook posts mentioned, you know, a lot of people just don't get the flu if they are in situations and are careful, and so they then get this false sense of security that they're really not at risk. Similarly, people, you know, that get the vaccine and feel like they've got some illness afterwards start to attribute those two things and tie them together, and so I think that combination of false sense of security along with fear of the vaccine puts some people then in a position where they make decisions to leave themselves at risk.
We're going to continue our conversation about the flu vaccine. Why haven't you gotten your shot yet if you haven't gotten it? 800-642-1234. Dr. Conway stays with us as our conversation continues. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We're talking about the flu shot. The flu season is here, but many people haven't been vaccinated yet. If you haven't gotten the shot yet, why not? What questions do you have about the vaccine? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dr. James Conway is with us this morning. He is the Associate Director for Health Sciences at the Global Health Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he is also a pediatric infectious disease specialist. We know, Dr. Conway, that the very young and the elderly are the most vulnerable to the flu, and I just want to share a little story with you. Someone I know of got an email from a sister who was announcing the imminent birth of a child and said, if you want to come and visit the baby, make sure you've had your flu shot and your pertussis vaccine, because otherwise don't show up. So this person taking the flu very, very seriously. Why is it that the very young and the elderly are the most vulnerable to the flu?
Well, first of all, that's a brilliant proactive health activity that person was trying to get people to participate in. You know, we're actually very concerned about young infants and the elderly, mostly because their immune systems are just not up to snuff and don't respond and pivot quickly when confronted with new things, which is part of the reason that, you know, infants and the elderly need so many vaccines to keep themselves protected. You know, we're actually so concerned about newborns that there's now much more attention towards trying to immunize pregnant women and giving pregnant women a flu vaccine and a dose of the Tdap vaccine so that they can actually transfer some of that immunity to the baby to start off the first couple months, at least, until the babies then can start to get immunized themselves. So babies in particular, and especially because they're held and passed around and are around so many other people, are really quite vulnerable to these kinds of diseases.
So we had a caller who couldn't stay on with us, Brad from Eau Claire, who wanted to know about the use of mercury as a preservative in the vaccine. Is mercury still a part of the vaccination, or has that been eliminated?
No. So thimerosal was a preservative that's been around since the 1920s, and it's a form of inert mercury. But because of people's concerns about these kinds of things back in the late 90s, the manufacturers started to remove those kinds of preservatives from the vaccines. There's a few of the vaccines that it's used up some part of the manufacturing, but it's all removed by the time it's actually ready to be put into people. So currently there's no vaccines that are using that kind of preservative anymore.
Last year's flu season was pretty tough. We've cited the statistics already. Do we have any idea what this year's flu season will look like?
Yeah, it's always a really hard process of figuring out exactly what things are going to look like. You know, at this point, I think the groups that I'm in contact with are estimating that we're probably looking at another moderate and potentially severe season, depending on what the viral mutations look like. There's already flu that's showed up in Wisconsin, you know, as early as September. There's already been some flu deaths in the United States already reported. So it's already shaping up to be a relatively early season, and some of these viruses that are circulating do look like they're somewhat severe.
Now, last year, only 36% of Wisconsinites got the flu shot. How many people are health officials hoping for this year?
Well, we always hope for 100%, but that's unrealistic, especially because the manufacturers only make enough vaccine that about half the country could get it, even if everybody did want it. So I'd say that we're always trying to maximize flu vaccine delivery into the young, into the high-risk populations, both the elderly and those with immune problems, as well as pregnant women. But really, this is a vaccine that everybody should avail themselves to.
Other than having doctors talk about this issue on public radio talk shows, what else could we do to raise awareness?
Well, I think it's important for people to talk about it in their communities and in their churches and schools, and telling people that they got vaccinated. I think one of the most powerful things people do as a society is share with each other what they're doing. And when people do get vaccinated, I think they're making a statement that they should try to encourage others to follow along.
Maybe we should have a sticker that people can put on, like the one you get when you go vote, the one that says, "I voted." Maybe we could have a sticker that people could wear that says, "I got vaccinated."
That's a pretty clever idea, John. Actually, I may look into that.
Yeah, well, you don't even have to give me credit. let's take a call from Christine who's joining us from Hudson. Christine, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm calling about the 80,000 people that have supposedly died from the flu last year, and I would really like to make a clarification for the listeners. According to the CDC, that number includes people who died from pneumonia, flu-like symptoms, and undiagnosed flu. According to the American Lung Association, that number of people that died in the United States from diagnosed flu was less than 5,000.
Dr. Conway?
So it's kind of an interesting, you're kind of mixing apples and oranges, but I appreciate your concern. So it's really hard to get a firm number, which is why, you know, 80,000 is such a round number. Obviously, people would question that. And, you know, it really is admittedly something that is done on an estimate basis. There's a lot of, you know, particularly sophisticated modeling that goes into these things. But it's an estimate, and it's based on extrapolating from what types of diagnoses people die from and then how many of them actually even got tested for influenza. So unfortunately, influenza testing is underutilized, and there's a lot of people that can get very severely ill and never get tested. We are in this mode in medicine in the United States now where we're trying to minimize unnecessary testing and keep costs down. And so unfortunately, there are quite a few people we find that only after the fact do we realize they actually had influenza. And so the use of these other constellations or combinations of symptoms to describe an influenza-like illness is sometimes the best we can do. But it's an imperfect science, especially because a lot of people just never get seen with their illnesses.
Is there an ideal time to get the flu shot?
I mean, I think that, you know, as soon as it's available and early, it takes about a week or two after you get the vaccine to have your immune system fully up to speed. And so, you know, I'd say October is ideal, because we certainly know that then when November, December, January hit, when people are traveling and a lot of these things start moving around the country, that that's when we really start to see an uptick across the entire country.
And is it ever too late in the season to get one?
No, it isn't. And that's one of the things that's really interesting, is that we usually do see kind of a late season March, April blip of usually a late arrival, often of B strain. And so even if people don't get vaccinated until January, February, there actually is still some protection that they will get from those late season strains.
Now, if people were to take anything away from this particular segment, it's that they should go get the flu shot if they haven't already. But is there anyone who shouldn't get the flu shot?
Well, I mean, people with immune system issues should not get the nasal flu vaccine. That's really restricted for kids and healthy adults 2 to 49 years of age. But other than that, if you've got some kind of actual allergy to the vaccine that you've been told about in the past, should you really hesitate? You know, we used to be worried about people that had egg allergies, because a lot of the vaccines are actually produced in eggs. But it turns out that over the last couple of years, we've realized with more intense study that even people with egg allergies can actually just get the regular flu vaccines. There's such a small amount of egg protein in those that's really not even much of a risk. So really, these are vaccines that are available and should be utilized by everybody.
Well, where can people get more information about when and where to get their flu shot?
Well, the CDC runs a particularly good group of websites that have a lot of information. There's another organization called the Immunization Action Coalition, or immunize.org is their website. Both of those have really very robust information. And then obviously the Wisconsin DHS website, the state immunization program, has a lot of information available as well.
And by the way, Randy from River Falls called in and said that he got the shot last week and he did get a sticker. So they're doing that in River Falls. So dang,
nice.
I was already behind the curve, late with another idea. Oh, well.
And drat.
Dr. James Conway is the Associate Director for Health Sciences at the Global Health Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Pediatric Infectious Disease Specialist. Thank you for joining us again this morning, Dr. Conway.
Thanks, John. Have a good day.
You too. I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.